Welcome to the Straight from the Source's Mouth podcast. Frank talk about sex and dating.
All right. Hello, everyone. Tamara here. Welcome to the show. Today's guest is Mangala Holland, and we'll be talking about pleasure over 40. If you like this episode, be sure to tell your friends about it and rate it as well. Thanks for joining me today, Mangala.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here and really excited for our conversation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. Obviously, a lot of people can probably relate to it, but how did you get started in this, like, or what made you want to discuss this kind of topic?
Yeah, so the short condensed answer is, like, back in the day, like, before I got into sexuality work, I was in the corporate world. I worked in stockbrokers and law firms, and I was also DJing three or four nights a week and leading a bit of a double life. And I was a real party animal. And I did that for as long as my body would let me. And eventually I burnt out, no surprise. And once I burnt out, I really decided I needed to take some time out to kind of, like, you know, explore why I was so unhappy and why I'd been pushing myself to the limit in the first place. And I went off to do traveling for a year, and I got into, like, yoga and meditation, but on that journey, I discovered Neo-Tantra, and I realized that at the core of my, I realized I actually hated my body. I'd had a massive disconnect with my sexuality all my life, and I'd had, like, a string of just drunken one-night stands and just full of shame. I realized at the core of it, I had so much sexual shame. And exploring sexuality was like, oh my God, this is a chance for me to really get to the root of this and work through it and really do the deep healing work. And I did. And through that journey, I started to discover all these amazing orgasms, like cervical orgasms, G-spot orgasms. I was like, my God, this is amazing. Like, why does nobody tell us about this? Like, you know, I think I was like 38 by the time I heard about this stuff. And I was like, we're just not told this when we're younger. And so it was all well and good until I realized that actually the environment I was in was really manipulative and full of predators and really unsafe place for women. And I'd spent 5 years immersed in that environment. And when I came out of that, I was like, I really am so passionate about, I want to, like, take the gems of, like, what was helpful for women and give them ways to learn about this stuff safely and where they can do the discovery in their own time and pace and from the comfort of their own homes without needing to go and do this, like, crazy stuff that I'd done and, you know, avoid the predators and everything else. And as I'd emerged from that community, I was in my mid-40s then, and, you know, a lot of the practices they were teaching just were not helpful for a woman in her mid-40s. Like, you know, my energy levels had changed. I'd started to hit perimenopause. And that uncovered a huge new layer of me, you know, looking at, like, how do I still access pleasure in a body that is changing in all kinds of weird and wonderful ways? And my energy levels are, like, plummeted. And how do I navigate this? And it opened up all these questions. And so it's been a really big journey for me. And as I've got older, you know, I've started to work with more clients who are 50s, 60s and 70s. So, like, my oldest client is 76. She's having the best sex and pleasure of her life. And it's awesome. You know, it's like, it's never too late to discover this stuff. And so a lot of the women I work with, they go through a phase of feeling really angry, like, to get to 40s and 50s, and, like, why the hell am I only discovering this now? It can bring up a lot of rage. Yeah.
Well, and I'm actually the opposite. I learned this. Well, I had a tantric amazing one at 18 and never repeated it. So yeah, it was like my first, you know, like my first love and all. And he knew what he was doing because I was a second, and it just, yeah. So, like, I haven't been able to get that back. So I know what I'm missing.
Yeah. Like, that's like kind of like, it's like having amazing drugs and then never being able to recreate that same experience. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you mentioned clients, do you want to talk about like what you do now? And then we can go into like the messages you have as well.
Sure. Yeah. So the clients I have these days, I mean, I work with everyone aged 18 to, as I say, 76, but I would say like the vast majority of my clients are kind of late 30s, 40s, and in their 50s. Work with women and vulva owners, and it really is around helping them reclaim their pleasure. So for a lot of clients, it's like they feel like either they've got stuck in a rut in the relationship and things have kind of got to a point where it's got stale, or they've not had sex for a while, or they want to bring in this freshness and re-get that, get that spark back that's been missing. Some people, it's that they shut down during sex and they've always struggled with that and they need support in unraveling that so that they can, yeah, feel more sexually confident and be able to relax and let go in the bedroom. For some of my clients, it's just like, oh, they've been through a big life change and they're like, they're ready to rediscover who they are now and step into this new identity. And then for other clients, it's like, yeah, I'm already having orgasms, but I want to know what else my body's capable of. And I want this, you know, this next level. And that's, so that's really exciting. So there's a few different, clients.
And do you work with them, I'm guessing, online or in person, or like what's your, and what are your, what are your, is your title, or what do you work on?
Yeah,
or what are you considered?
My title is women's sexuality and empowerment coach, because I really believe that like when we unlock this sexuality, like it affects every part of our lives and our confidence and everything else. And so all my work is online, and I work with clients one-to-one, normally in a 6-month coaching package, because it takes time to unravel this stuff and they need the hand holding along the way. And I also run group programs as well. They're so much fun because getting a bunch of people together who are all working on stuff on their own, you know, want to develop in their own personal stuff, but to be in a community doing that together is really powerful. And I also run a professional facilitator training program as well. So that's a 10-month program where I teach people to do what I do. Yeah. So it's, I love it. I feel so lucky to be, you know, to teach this stuff, because it is life changing and it's so rewarding. Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually had someone on like early on in my podcast journey, and she was like you, very alive and happy, and just like, you know, it's a testament to like what you guys do, I'm guessing, like you said.
And there's something, you know, yeah. There's also like, it takes some, you know, some talking about taboo breaking stuff a lot of the time. And I guess you must come up against this as well. Like sometimes you meet somebody who's like an accountant or something, and you know, it's like, they get really curious about what you do. And it's like, oh, are you ready for this conversation? Yeah,
for sure. When you talk about, you have a podcast about sex, they definitely have some thoughts on that. Cool. Do you want to share here how people can get a hold of you? And then so we'll talk about like the main points.
Yeah. So you can find me at my website, mangalaholland.com. On there, I do have a free 3-part video series called From Shutdown to Sensual Satisfaction. So if anyone's listening to this and they want to jump on that, it's a really safe intro, like small bite size practices that you can do just to start to get into your body and start to feel more confident. You can also find me on Facebook at Mangala Holland, and also Instagram at Mangala Holland.
Okay, awesome. And then I know we talked right before this about our kind of our 3 main topics, if we're ready, just go there.
let's get into it.
And I know you address some of them by mentioning some of your clients, but maybe go more into, like you mentioned, the people, what they struggle with. And I guess you kind of already really said most of it, if there's any more to add, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, like, especially when it comes to feeling like you can just relax and let go and receive and, you know, in the bedroom, there's a few key things that really hold people back. Things like shame is a big one, you know. It was definitely a huge part of my journey, but I see it with so many of my clients. Like, and that can be for many different reasons. It can be upbringing. It can be messages we got from our parents about what's considered okay and what's not, you know, even down to how your parents talked about your genitals or pleasure or anything like that. We get messages when we were really, really impressionable early on. It can come from society, and it can come from religious upbringing. All of those things can really hold us back when it comes to feeling confident in ourselves. So shame is a big one. Guilt is a big one as well, like feeling like you're deserving to take the time and the space for pleasure. So many women in particular feel like they've got to support everybody else, and they're doing all these things for other people, and their own needs get put to the bottom of the list. And even when we're talking about pleasure practices that are going to make you feel really good and juicy and alive and orgasmic, it's like that gets put to the bottom of the to-do list, and then you run out of steam by the end of the day, too exhausted, think, oh, I'll do that tomorrow, and it never gets done. So there is a piece in there about feeling worthy and deserving to prioritize yourself and prioritize your own pleasure. Those of us who've been socialized as female often end up in the giving role and the supporting role, which, you know, that translates sometimes into the bedroom as well, feeling like it's all about our partner's needs or our partner's pleasure, and that's not healthy. So that is something that I definitely support clients with. Trauma, of course, is a big one as well, and it doesn't necessarily need to be sexual trauma. There can be things in, you know, from our upbringing or childhood or later in life as well. Sometimes it can be, you know, things that are seemingly unrelated but have left you feeling really unconfident or unable to articulate your needs or even to know what your needs are, or you get to a point where you just freeze. You know, all of this stuff can be unwound and can be worked through. So yeah, that is a big one as well. So there's many different reasons, but these are the kind of things people typically struggle with.
Yeah, definitely. And because we talk about books a lot, I just read one on complex PTSD, like basically a lack of nurturing growing up. Mm-hmm. And What My Body Knows, I think is what it's called. Stephanie Fu, in case I'm getting the title wrong. But that was a really good book. She was a researcher, and she talked a lot about how to resources for overcoming that kind of trauma. Mm-hmm. And then when you mentioned guilt, I was thinking of the other type of guilt is just like feeling it's like wrong and dirty. Like you said, you know, sometimes it's, yeah, so that goes back to the shame too, like the two together.
Yeah, absolutely. That it's sinful, or even just that it's a frivolous luxury and I should be doing something more productive with my time. Like, this is where, you know, capitalism really kicks in, and it's like, no, I'm supposed to be working, or I'm supposed to be looking after my family or whatever. It's, you know, it's all these things that we should be doing. It's easy to get stuck in that trap.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, for sure. All right. Do you want to move on to how we can reclaim all that, or
anything
to say on the first part?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think like the important thing, the message I want people to get really is that it is possible to reclaim pleasure. And it's so easy, particularly in midlife, to think, oh, that's it, it's game over. I've hit perimenopause or menopause, and my vagina's drying up, and my body's getting old, and everything's starting to sag, and my libido's crashed through the floor, and it's game over, and it's never going to come back. And I want to reassure people that actually, no, there's a lot that can be done, and that it is possible to reclaim your pleasure. I always recommend starting through the body. I love that you said, like, what my body knows. I mean, this is the key for me. It's like really coming at this through a body first perspective, because if you're somebody who goes into your head a lot and gets stuck in your head a lot, you can't fix the problem from just up in the head or just from talking. It needs to be an embodied approach. So it's like, what are the small things you can do on a daily basis to get you back into your body and start to feel what's there? you know, sometimes I'll work with people and they'll say, I feel numb from the waist down, or I'm just completely disconnected. And it's like, once we start to engage just in general movement, like every day, whether that's dance or rolling around on the floor or moving around on your hands and knees with your eyes closed, these kind of things, and really just listening to what is going on in your body, it helps you process stuff that has kind of got backed up in your system and hasn't been moved through. But it also helps you access more pleasure and more sensation. And then that really helps you reconnect your pleasure. And I think particularly in midlife, when we've got so much going on and we can be exhausted, and you might have teenagers and elderly parents that you're trying to support and going through your own hormonal changes as well, pleasure can be a lifeline. So it's like, I really recommend starting with getting into your body and also looking at pleasure in general in daily life. Like, what are the things that you can look towards that bring you pleasure? So as we're talking now, I look out the window, and here in the UK, we're in full spring now, and the sun is actually shining today, and trees are really green. And I look at that, and it's just like, it makes me happy and brings me joy. And it's like, yeah, what are the things that bring us joy in daily life? Like, start to do more of them. And it might sound really simple, but it's like, the more we can lean on pleasure, the easier it is to then access sexual pleasure, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Mm. Pretty cool. Yeah, because I can see the Washington Monument. I mentioned a few times, like, when I look out my window. So it's just, like, cool to see, like, the seat of government and stuff.
Yeah, super cool. I mean, I guess that's, like, a real power spot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was just thinking about other stuff, like food or whatever it is that you love. You know, just, like, enjoy it. Do it, you know, like you said.
As much as possible. Absolutely. And do it in a really intentional way, you know. It's like I could eat... I could eat a pizza, for example, and just smash through it and not give it a second thought, and it barely touched the sides, which is often, you know, I have to really remind myself not to do that. Or I can slow down and I can savor it and I can enjoy the, you know, engage all of the senses. This is the other thing, like, when we can engage all of the senses, it brings in so much more awareness and freshness, and it can heighten our availability for pleasure as well. And this is the key thing I would say for everybody. I think we can benefit from slowing things down more, but particularly in midlife, you know, our bodies give us signals that actually we can't override anymore. So, like, we might need to slow down more. We might need more tender touch. We might need to take more time and have more foreplay and all of these things. And I think that's our body's way of saying, hey, I've got boundaries here and I have to listen to them now. And now I'm at a point in my life where I can't just override that with alcohol or, you know, just jumping into bed with someone and expecting it to go okay. It's like, I need all these more subtle nuances in place. And I think it's really important to listen to that. Yeah.
And the connection, like, you know, like you mentioned, when you're younger, one night stands, like, they're not quite the same when you're older.
Yeah. Too. I mean, I think there's a time and a place for a one night stand if that's what you want, but there's, I think, and I'm generalizing here, but I think as we get older, we tend to be looking for something a bit more nourishing and a bit more, like you say, a bit more of that connection, especially emotionally. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Well, I guess it was my point, so I should agree. Yeah. Is there more to say on how they reclaim, or do you think
and I would say this is about permission, and it's about looking at all of the messages that we've ingested, and when those thoughts come up, because they're, you know, if you get stuck in thought loops of, like, I should be doing something more important, or I don't deserve this, or my orgasms take too long, that's a classic one, or all of these things, it's like, start intercepting that with the question of, says who? Because chances are it's not your voice. It was your mother's voice, or it's something you got from childhood. And we can start to break that pattern and break that cycle there. And especially when you are doing this and you're more connected to your body, you start to dismantle these blocks and start to dismantle these old ways of being. And this is where you start to really reclaim this. And, you know, I think particularly midlife, it is a transitional phase. It is a rite of passage. That's what I was looking for. You know, so it is us stepping into a new phase of life. And that means part of our old identities have to drop away and we get to embrace something new. And for a lot of us, as women in particular, when we were younger, we might have been able to get through on life with looks and charm and, you know, the beauty. And as we get older and things change, then we have to dig a bit deeper. And it's like, okay, what are my gifts? And that we have to source our validation from a much deeper place inside ourselves and not be seeking it from outside. And I think this is revolutionary and it's really empowering to step into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely see that. Unfortunately, with the, you know, as we know, society favors the young, but I love that everyone, like they say, you know, 40 was the new 20 or whatever. Now it's like 50 and 60. So everyone, as we age, right, like everyone's feeling younger and looking younger. And
yeah, I just saw, I don't know if you've seen in the last couple of days, like Sports Illustrated have just brought out their latest edition swimsuit model who's 81. And it's like
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. Yeah. It's like, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, she looks great. Mm. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Any more on reclaiming?
I think that's a good, you know, hopefully that inspires your listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely love the says who part because, you know, we all talk to ourselves or hear that voice and it's good to differentiate. Like who is saying that? Like I've never heard it quite like that. And I'm going to definitely use that when I catch myself. It's hard for me to catch myself when I say things like, you know, negative stuff, but stopping yourself is super key.
Yeah, that's it. And it's also about when you catch yourself to not then beat yourself up for being like, oh God, I thought that thought again, you know, because that can be a negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
It's like, great. We're unwinding the patterns here. Like celebrate it every time. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. All right. And then you said you were going to talk about how this will be the start. I'll let you finish.
So I always love to invite people into the question of what if midlife is the start of your pleasure and not the end? And this question has come about because of the results I've seen in my clients over and over again. Like they say, like so many of my clients thought that, oh, this is, you know, it's game over now, or I'm just not sure if I'm ever going to get there, or doubting themselves and second guessing. And once they start on this journey of reclamation and reclaiming their pleasure, it's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know it could be this good. I didn't know my body was capable of experiencing this level of pleasure and these kinds of orgasms. And oh my God, this is amazing. So it really can be the start. And as I said about my client who is 76, there's another woman I worked with last year who was also over 70. And after we worked together, she was like, my pussy is more alive than ever. You know, and this is incredible. And I work with clients who've been with their partners for decades. And through this work, they have really discovered what works for them and what doesn't. Like that's the key piece. It's like really accessing this authentic sensuality and authentic sexual confidence from the inside out, which then makes it so much easier to communicate that to a partner. And then they're able to bring in so much like more freshness into the bedroom because it's like, oh, we've got all these new things to play and we've got a whole bigger realm to kind of explore. And we're both in this journey of discovering and figuring out what works. And like that can just take intimacy to such a deeper level. And if you're in a long-term relationship where you've already got that beautiful container of trust and safety and familiarity, I just think that is so awesome. You know, it's so incredible.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially for the men listening, because this, I believe my listeners are like 50-50 men and women.
Great.
So, yeah, like, it's all those men that wished, you know, they were having more time in the bedroom, you know, and if a woman feels, yeah, starts to get her pleasure back and then asks for what she wants, so the guy can actually please her,
yeah,
and, you know, the way she wants to be pleased, and then everyone's happy. I love a win-win situation.
Totally. And it's like when you're discovering pleasure from the inside out through your body in this way, like so many of my clients are then, they feel more confident. They're able to go into positions where they might have felt self-conscious about how their body looked before. And it's like now it's just like, no, I know that this is a position that brings me the most pleasure and allows me to access orgasms. Like, what partner's not going to enjoy that? You know, it is really affirming for both parties. Yeah, yeah. And for the men who are listening, like, if you want to support your female partner in this, I would really encourage you to experiment with slowing everything right down, taking orgasm as a goal off the table and just exploring the sensations and the pleasure that are there, and way more foreplay. That's one of the key things. Thumbs up. Like, I was interviewed, yeah, for a magazine this week, and I said, like, my golden rule is, however much foreplay you're doing at the moment, experiment by doubling it and see what happens.
Yeah. Actually, I started talking about this during stand-up comedy, and that was one of my messages constantly.
Wow.
is all about a certain area that women have that a lot of people don't notice, or, yeah, you know, the clitoris, basically. Yeah. And then through in this podcast, I've discovered how much bigger the clitoris is than you think.
Yes.
You know, instead of that little spot, and that foreplay is very helpful. And I also add it to the love languages. You know, if you're someone that likes touch, more touch is play, you know, is foreplay. And then if you like the words, more words,
yeah,
throughout the day are going to be,
yeah,
foreplay as well.
Absolutely. And building that anticipation, not just like when you get into bed, like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I love on this is, like, you mentioned, like, the clitoris as well. And it's like, and there's so many other erogenous zones in our body, like, that are kind of secondary, like the insides of our elbows, the insides of the wrists, the back of the neck, under the ears. Like, we're all wired a bit differently, but it's fun to explore that and see what the response is, because these are the things that can sometimes bring in so much more aliveness and freshness. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that was pleasurable. Yeah.
Yeah, like the back of my arm, for some reason, there's like a certain spot that really gets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just, like, obviously just randomly discovered that. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love these cool experiments where we're continually discovering more about ourselves and each other. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Anything else to add that we can just to prove that it's the start versus the end of pleasure?
Yeah. And I think, as I said earlier, I think pleasure is a really massive resource, and it can really give us so much more energy and fulfillment and make us, we are wired for pleasure. We are meant to thrive. We're not meant to be stuck, stressed, and in survival mode and just trying to get by. You know, like, the human race needs us to be in pleasure for us to procreate. So it's a really fundamental thing. And one thing where people get really stuck is stress. Like, stress can have a massive impact on pleasure, and particularly around midlife. And so the more you can, like, if you're not at midlife yet and you're listening to this, then really prioritize pleasure and make it a real non-negotiable in your life, because it's going to stop you reaching that point where you hit burnout or you get stressed. It's going to help you redress that balance. As I say, I see time and time again what's possible for people when they do reclaim their pleasure. And as I said, it affects every area of your life. And I have had clients who have, like, once they've awoken their pleasure and their sexual confidence and their orgasm started to get unleashed, they make huge changes in their life. Like, they quit their jobs and start whole new creative careers. I've had clients who've moved cities and started a whole new life. Clients who now feel like they're ready to try for a baby because their partnership is in a better position than it ever was before. I've seen clients, like, start whole new businesses. I've had clients whose businesses have gone through the roof once they've opened up to pleasure and their creative energy is flowing. So it really is tied in with this. And this is why, like, it really can be the start. It really can. And it's more than anything, it's about really getting to the truth of who you are. And midlife gives us an opportunity to really get curious with that. I mean, the sign sometimes can be really uncomfortable in our bodies when there's all these changes happening. And so it's like the warning lights in the car come on and says, okay, we can't keep operating in this default mode anymore. I've got to do something about this. And this is where, when we lean into pleasure and drink from it and use it as a resource, then we get to reap the benefits. Yeah.
Yeah. I know I say this pretty much every episode, but no, I think it still inspire a lot of people. And, you know, this is really great information because, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't so happy in their sex lives,
yeah,
or they're in the bedroom. And this would be awesome to just have win-wins for everyone that listens. And it goes even farther. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that seems like a good ending point, unless you wanted to make any last comment, but I think that was kind of like a good summary.
I'm really happy with that. And yeah, you know, follow me on social media and all the places. I love to talk about this stuff. I love to educate on this stuff, and I love to support people in dismantling the blocks that are in the way of this. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And if you love this episode, be sure to tell your friends about it. And if you've gotten something, also check out Mangala Holland on all the social media, like she said. But yeah, hopefully you found this very valuable, like I did. And thank you very much for being on.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a delight to have this conversation today.
All righty. Thanks again.
Frank Talk! Frank Talk! Sex and dating educates.